20 years old. Connor McDavid, 100 points this year, led the NHL in scoring.
And the winner of the Ted Lindsay Award goes to
Connor McDavid.
And the Hart Memorial Trophy goes to Connor McDavid.
I don't even really know what to say, honestly. It means so much.
Connor McDavid is that fourth pillar and a generational player that I don't think we will see for a long, long time.
Pretty decent player, that Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. That was a collection of some of his clips and his accolades last season when he sort of, not that he needed to break out anymore, but last season he certainly took his perch atop the NHL, or, you know, one A with Sidney Crosby, however you want to look at it, as the league's best players. And of course, he led the Edmonton Oilers to a playoff spot last season. We start with our preview of the Pacific Division, and I should mention that this segment is brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com. Check out their showroom, 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you. So we start with the Anaheim Ducks, as they were the best team in the Pacific Division last year, 46-23-13, 105 points. They get all the way to the Western Conference Final, where they lose to the Nashville Predators. You heard Eric DeHatchick say he's predicting the Ducks to represent the West. Wasn't what I would describe as effusive in confidence with that, and I understand why, as the West is a big toss-up this year. Not a lot of movements for the Ducks. Francois Beauchemin goes back there. Ryan Miller as the backup goaltender. And then they lose Shea Theodore, Clayton Stoner. They have big defensive problems on their back end. We know the injury bug has bit them already this offseason. How do you see the Duck season playing out, Mr. Ginsburg?
Yeah, and if you remember, guys, last playoffs, if there weren't late injuries to Patrick Eves and Rickard Rakell, the Anaheim Ducks might be going to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? So,
and John Gibson, remember. Jonathan Bernier had to play that decisive game and was horrendous.
Yeah, it's a good point. Ducks. So the biggest change, really, as you mentioned, Drew, is in goal, bringing in Ryan Miller. And we talked to Kevin Woodley about this a couple of weeks ago. There's a good chance that Ryan Miller plays 30 to 40 games this year for the Anaheim Ducks, especially with John Gibson's injury history, right? So obviously they lose Shea Theodore, an excellent young defenseman. He goes to the Vegas Golden Knights. He might be their best defenseman this year, alongside Lucas Abiza, Jason Garrison. It's a bit of a patchwork defense there. And they also obviously have to get rid of some defensemen. Drew, we'll talk about them in a bit. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this Anaheim Ducks team goes all the way. You got to talk about, though, Hampus Lindholm and Sammy Vatanen. Eric Duhatchik mentioned it. I mean, we don't know how long these guys are going to be out. They've both been out since the playoffs ended with shoulder surgeries. So we're expecting them probably to miss the first, what, 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They might be back sometime in November, but we just don't know. Ryan Kesler is obviously another major injury. That's going to open up the door for Rickard Rakell. We were talking about it on our fantasy preview show, Drew. I mean, was there a guy that had a more quiet 30-goal season than Rickard Rakell? I mean, this guy is an up-and-coming star in the league. You still have Getzlaff there. You still have Corey Perry there. Patrick Eves is there. Andrew Cogliano never misses any games. And Antoine Vermette's still a good player. Nick Ritchie, I think, you know, is an up-and-coming player there, most likely going to play on the third line this year. And they've still got a lot of good defensemen there, guys. Cam Fowler, Josh Manson, Brandon Montour was a revelation after playing really well for the San Diego Gulls last year. So this is still a playoff team to me. I don't know if they win the division this year, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later, but I do think the Edmonton Oilers are catching up, and they only, you know, finished 2 points behind them last year. So the gap between the Ducks and Oilers is closing, if you can call 2 points, you know, being that big of a spread there.
You mentioned the Edmonton Oilers, Sean. How do you see the Oilers playing out? They were quiet in the offseason as well. The Ryan Strome acquisition in exchange for Jordan Eberle was their biggest offseason move. I mean, you have Connor McDavid, you have Leon Draisaitl. You mentioned Kyler Yamamoto in your question to Eric DeHatchick last segment. Good things in Edmonton. Are they good enough to be your Western Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think it's going to happen this year. I think you look at their team, and I mean, you got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl as your front runners up offensively. You got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Milan Lucic as your support role, and then you guys got guys like Mark Letestu, Zach Kassian, Drake Kujula, who can score? These guys can put the puck away, you know? And then you look at their defense, the emergence of Oscar Klefbom. You assume Darnell Nurse is going to take another step forward in his development. He looked pretty good in the preseason. Adam Larson, you know, he proved that trade was beneficial to both teams with the Devils. He was a rock last year for the Oilers, pardon me. But then you look in net, and if Cam Talbot can once again do what he did last year and provide solid goaltending for the Oilers, it's a scary, scary lineup. We saw them in the preseason. It was only the preseason, but the speed that this team possesses, it epitomizes what the NHL is right now. It's speed and skill, and here they are, and I think they're not going anywhere.
Ezzy, the San Jose Sharks finished 46-29-7 last year, 99 points. It's going to be weird to see Patrick Marleau on a team other than the San Jose Sharks. We know he went to Toronto in the offseason. Joe Thornton elected to re-sign with the Sharks. What of the San Jose Sharks team? You know, 2 years ago, they were the Western Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Final. Last year, they went out in the first round of the playoffs. It seems like they might be a playoff team, but it doesn't seem they're much more than just a fringe playoff team.
Yeah, and they're going to be fighting, you know, some other teams for a playoff spot, and some of those teams are going to be in the Central Division. So I don't think necessarily the San Jose Sharks have taken a big step back, but I definitely wouldn't say that they've gotten better there. And obviously the big story last year was Brent Burns winning the Norris Trophy. I mean, this team is still very deep, Drew, but when you're talking about, you know, some of these other teams that are coming up in the Central, the Jets are one of them, the Stars. You know, we've already talked about the Calgary Flames with Eric Duhatchik, but I could see them taking a step back this year and missing the playoffs.
Interesting. Keep that as keep the audience on the hook. We'll hook that after that when we finish off the Western Conference with the last five teams.
And I love Joe Thornton, and you know how much I love Brent Burns and all of their players there, but you know, it's a competitive conference.
We will talk about the last five teams of the Western Conference when we come back, and we'll give our Western Conference playoff teams as well. That's coming up next. You're listening to the NHL This Week season preview show on TSN 1290.
Move, Hamonic shoots, he scores! That's a highlight reel goal for Travis Hamonic. Oh, Mike Smitty! Oh, what a save! Mike Smith slams it closed!
Kidding me!
Those powerful strikes down the wing. Jágr hits the brakes. Curling drags beautifully past Tavander.
Jágr scores!
Minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to the NHL This Week season preview spectacular on TSN 1290. A quick reminder, normally, this show is going to be on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Of course, with the Jets and the Leafs doing battle tomorrow night at 6 on TSN 1290, we moved it to Tuesday for this week. But typically, you can hear NHL This Week Wednesday nights here on TSN 1290. Calgary Flames, they had a busy offseason. Their two biggest acquisitions prior to yesterday were Mike Smith and Travis Hamonic. Mike Smith, of course, in goal, ex of the Arizona Coyotes. Travis Hamonic coming over from the New York Islanders to really shore up and solidify what is a very good defense in Calgary. And then Jaromir Jágr signs with the Calgary Flames yesterday. It's going to get the headlines, but I think the on-ice impact is probably the lesser of the three names I just mentioned. Hamonic and Smith are going to have far greater impact on the Calgary Flames this season. That Calgary Flames defense is a tremendously good defense. I have some questions about Mike Smith, but Ezzy, how do you feel about the Calgary Flames?
Well, guys, I had Calgary as a playoff team before they acquired Jaromir Jágr, and it just makes them even better. And, you know, we talked to Eric Duhatchik about the Flames. Most likely, Jaromir Jágr slots in on that third line with Sam Bennett and Chris Versteeg, and that's an interesting third line. And then that bumps a guy like Troy Brouwer down to the fourth line with Matt Stajan and Curtis Lazar. I mean, what comes to mind for me, Drew, is depth. Mm-hmm. This team has depth at every position. I think Mike Smith, personally, is an upgrade over Brian Elliott.
Well, I think he's an upgrade.
And I think Brian Elliott, you know, is a decent goaltender, but, you know, you forget, Mike Smith was a guy, you know, who represented Canada at the Olympics. And I realize, you know, his numbers have maybe been a little bit poor the last couple of years, but he's been on a terrible team.
Sure.
Right? So I like the acquisition of Mike Smith, can play the puck really well behind the net and help his defensemen. And you mentioned those defensemen, Drew. I mean, you know, when you talk about Nashville and Anaheim, some of those elite teams, when you talk about Mark Giordano, Dougie Hamilton, DJ Brody, Travis Hamonic, Matt Barkowski, Michael Stone of Winnipeg, I mean, this is an excellent group of defensemen here. And then when you talk about Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau up front, and then you've got Tkachuk, Backlund, and Frolik on that second line. I mean, they've got depth at every position. So I absolutely have Calgary making the playoffs, and I think they might even challenge for that Pacific Division title with the Edmonton Oilers and the Ducks.
Yeah, I got to agree with everything you just said there, Ezzy. Just looking at their team, it just screams deep. You look at, and not just deep offensively or defensively, every role is filled. You got your penalty killers, power play, stacked. You got role guys like a Michael Frolik. We've seen what he can do here, how valuable a guy like that is to a team. Troy Brouwer. Guys that just know what it takes to get it done. And then, like you said, shoring up the goaltending with Mike Smith. It's a scary team. That D-court is terrifying.
Yeah, and we should also throw in Swan Rivers, Michael Ferland, former Brandon Wheat King. He's going to start the season on the top line.
Sure. I also want to mention Mark Jankowski. It's been a long time now, but he was a former first-round pick going back 5 years ago, and they certainly have taken their time in developing him, but he had an impressive season last year in Stockton of the AHL, getting 27 goals, 56 points in 64 games. He comes into the lineup, and there won't be any pressure on him. He won't be asked to do much, and he could surprise a lot of people in Calgary.
Drew, barring, you know, some unforeseen injuries, some major injuries, this team is making the playoffs. They were 10th in the league in power play last year, 12th in PK. Good possession team. Good from top to bottom. I mean, there just is no way this team isn't making the playoffs, I don't think. That's just my opinion. And, you know, injuries happen, things happen during the course of a season. Yeah. But to me, I mean, this team made the playoffs last year. Sure, they got swept in the first round, but they've got better.
The other three teams in the Pacific Division last season, the Los Angeles Kings, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Vancouver Canucks, all missed the playoffs. Of course, the Vegas Golden Knights are now in the Pacific Division as well. Can't really look back at their season last year. They're going to be we have no expectations for the Golden Knights this year. I think that's safe to say. Nobody thinks that this is a playoff team. Would that be fair from both of you guys?
Well, their strength is in net with Marc-Andre Fleury and Winnipeg's Calvin Pickard, but who's scoring the goals? Like, after James Neal and Vadim Shipyachov, who's never played
in
the NHL, by the way.
Yeah.
And James Neal is hurt to start the season, so, you know, who's getting the goals there? Like, is it going to be Cody Eakin? Like, who is going to score the goals for this team?
They don't have enough consistent goal scoring in Vegas.
Jonathan Marchessault is a nice player, but yeah. You've got, like, you know, three third lines there.
That's about right. They're an expansion team, and I think they're going to play hard because Gerard Gallant's going to get everything he can out of them. But to have any expectations of them other than being a non-playoff team would be unrealistic. That being said, if you take them for granted, you're probably going to lose because Gerard Gallant's going to have them playing. It's not like some of the old expansion teams of the 90s where they were just
atrocious.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Ray Ferraro wrote about his experiences with the Atlanta Thrashers on TSN.ca a couple weeks ago. They won't be like that, where they're just really a gong show or a clown show by any stretch. The Kings, the Coyotes, the Canucks, the other three teams there. Los Angeles, I mean, they were without Jonathan Quick for almost the entirety of last year. Does his return to the lineup bring them any closer to playoff contention? It's a team that really does seem on a downward trajectory, Ezzy.
I don't think any of those teams that you named are going to be playoff teams. I just don't think they've done enough. And, you know, when you're talking about the Arizona Coyotes, they're going to get some good young players into the lineup. Dylan Strome is one of those players, right? But when you're talking about the trades they made, sure, Derek Stepan makes them better up the middle. Obviously, they lose Shane Doan to retirement. Nicholas Jalmerson is going to make that defense better. Antti Raanta, is that an upgrade over Mike Smith? I would argue that it probably isn't, and he hasn't been a number one goalie in the NHL. He's only been a backup, right? So, I mean, for me, the LA Kings, the Arizona Coyotes, the Vancouver Canucks, they're all going to miss the playoffs again next year.
Sean,
this year,
quickly on those three teams before we get to our eight playoff teams each in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think I just echo exactly what Ezzy said. Not deep enough, too competitive of a West, and doesn't look good.
Alrighty, so give me your eight. It doesn't have to be in any particular order, but give me your eight and give me your Western Conference finalist as well.
Yeah, Drew, I wrote them out here in no particular order. I've got five teams from the Central making it, and I've got three teams from the Pacific making it. I've got Minnesota, Chicago, Dallas, Nashville, Winnipeg, Anaheim, Edmonton, and Calgary. I think Edmonton wins the Pacific, and I think Minnesota wins the Central.
And who represents the West in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I'm going Edmonton.
Edmonton. So you have the Canadian team going all the way there to the Stanley Cup
Finals. I do. I think that they have the goaltending. Obviously, they have the greatest player, offensive player at least, in the world in Connor McDavid. I think they do have the depth at forward and on defense. So I do think that Edmonton is going to go to the Stanley Cup Final this year.
So your teams that are making the playoffs this year that didn't make it last year are the Jets and the Dallas Stars, and you have them in at the expense of the San Jose Sharks and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, that's right.
Shawnee, give me your eight, please.
Literally the same. Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals.
So you have pretty much your... But
you have them in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to win. Edmonton will win the West.
You have Edmonton winning the West. And the, you know what? That's, I think, the big question mark is the St. Louis Blues are and the San Jose Sharks. You look at the roster, and I think that Joe Thornton, that's a year older, and he didn't have a great year last year. And Patrick Marleau, he's out of the lineup. Do the Sharks have the necessary young players to step in there? I'm not sure. You know, Brent Burns is probably... It's not realistic to expect he's going to have as good a year last year as he had. He's still going to be a great defenseman, but is he going to be as good as he was last season? And the St. Louis Blues are already injury riddled, and you know, do they have the necessary horses? That's the big question.
If they come out of the gate slow, can they catch up? That's the question. If the injuries hamper their start, can they catch up come November, December?
And Sean, it's going to be really close. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think you would either if either the St. Louis Blues or San Jose Sharks make the playoffs. They might miss the playoffs by 1 or 2 points, but you know, two teams have to come out in order for Winnipeg and Dallas to make it.
Sure.
And those are the two teams that make the most sense for me coming out.
I think a hot start to the season, particularly for the Jets and the Stars, is crucial.
Key.
For them to be a playoff team. If either of those two teams struggle out of the gate, if they go 3-7, if they go, you know, 2-8, 2-7-1, I think that is going to really put them behind the eight ball because it is such a competitive Western Conference. The Jets and the Stars, those would be my two teams that would make the playoffs with the, you know, just like you guys said, with the Sharks and the Blues falling out. But I think you're really going to know a lot within that first 10-game stretch of the season for both of those two teams to really see how the Western Conference plays out. When we come back, we're going to shift our focus to the East. Kevin Allen of USA Today is also going to join us. Much more to come. You're listening to NHL This Week. This is the Illegal Curve Season Preview Show on TSN 1290.
Friday, Hall of Fame.
Sidney Crosby, the best player in the NHL to some minds. Other people will go with Connor McDavid. I would agree, though, best all-round player still belongs to Sidney Crosby until Connor learns a little bit more on the back end. This segment of the show, welcome back to it, of course. It's the NHL Season Preview Show here on TSN 1290. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. When the puck drops tomorrow night, Bernstein's Deli is your home away from home to catch all the Jets games this season. They have game day specials, great drink specials, puck drop, all the specials start 90 minutes before puck drop. Check it out, Bernstein's on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com, hashtag hockey night at Bernstein's. You're going to find us there for some road games this year, our home away from home at Bernstein's Deli in the Cordon Village Mall.
Like, how excited are you guys for tomorrow night? Like, let's get real here.
I'm excited. I was thought I was being real.
I am, like, legitimately super excited, maybe more so than in previous years.
How does your excitement compare to your wedding day?
Well, I mean, you can't compare it to my wedding day.
Way more excited.
Yeah. Come on. That wasn't hockey related. It's, you know.
The one thing you compare it to is my wedding day.
Well, I need another big milestone. I mean, I'm not going to compare it to the day you ate 2 Big Macs or something. I mean, I know that the Big Macs went out.
That was a great day.
Yeah, I know it was. Anyways, let's start with the Metropolitan Division. We mentioned the Washington Capitals, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's start with the Caps. They were, of course, the President's Trophy winners last year, 55-19-8, 118 points. And in keeping with traditional Washington Capitals style, they lose in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. This offseason, a weird one in Washington. Their only addition is Devontae Smith-Pelly, a guy who is, at this stage in his career, I think it's safe to say he's a bit of a journeyman.
He's a fourth-line guy.
Yeah, in Anaheim, in Montreal,
Devils.
In New Jersey. Now he's in Washington. A lot of deletions from the Washington Capitals lineup. Marcus Johansson goes to the Devils, Shattenkirk to the Rangers, Justin Williams to the Hurricanes, Alzner to the Canadiens, and Nate Schmidt to the Golden Knights of Vegas. What of the Washington Capitals? I mean, they're still a playoff team because they still have the offense up front and Braden Holtby in goal, but there's no pressure on this team, I think, this year because there's no expectations as there has been the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be a 118-point team this year, Drew, but when you talk about, you know, some of the players that they lost, for me, you know, you talk about Marcus Johansson and Justin Williams. Well, that's almost 50 goals there. I believe it was 48 goals between the two of them there. But for me, it's the bigger concern is on defense. When you talk about Kevin Shattenkirk, well, he was a rental player. They only had him for a few months.
Of course.
But when you're talking about Carl Alzner and Nate Schmidt, three of your top six defensemen that ended the season for you are no longer there, right? So you've got Christian Juice, and you've got Madison Bowie, who's from Manitoba, and he's had some decent years in the American Hockey League, still young in his early 20s. He's going to start the season in the top six for the Washington Capitals. So you're expecting those players to fill roles by Nate Schmidt and Carl Alzner. Dmitry Orlov and Matt Niskanen is still your top pair there, but that defense is as not as good as it was last year, and you were the best team in the league as far as goals against go. So you've still got Braden Holtby and Philip Grubauer there. Probably, I would say, is the best goaltending tandem in the NHL. You could argue Philip Grubauer should be a number one goaltender in the NHL. But when you're talking about some of these players that they've lost, for me, it's on defense that really concerns me, guys, because this was kind of the foundation of the team. When you're talking about Williams and Marcus Johansson, well, Andrei Burakovsky is going to now play on the second line. They've split up Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom. Kuznetsov and Ovechkin are going to play together. Jacob Varana is a rookie. He's going to kind of fill some of that offense. So, I mean, they do have other players that are going to step into top six roles. And, you know, you've still got Lars Eller there on the third line and Brett Connolly. He provides a little bit of an offensive punch, but it just isn't as good of a team this year. So I think they are going to take a step back, but I don't know how big of a step back. To me, Sean, they're still going to be a, you know, 100 to 105-point team.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, they're going to score a bunch of goals, and they have Braden Holtby in net, which is the equation for success. And regardless if their defense diminishes a bit and, you know, they don't have the names per se on the back end, I mean, the head coach.
Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz, thank you. We had him on the roundtable, I believe it was maybe 3 weeks ago, and we asked him about Andrei Burakovsky and how much of an increased role he's going to have with Marcus Johansson gone to the devil, and without even hesitation, he goes, this is a big year for Andrei Burakovsky.
Yep.
A lot of pressure on him. We're going to give him the opportunity to succeed. So I think the forwards, the pressure's there for them to score. Braden Holtby is going to do his thing. It's whether they can score more than they let in.
Pittsburgh Penguins were 50-21-11, 111 points, Stanley Cup champions for a second year in a row. I mean, I don't know how much more you need to say about the Penguins. Their offseason, you know, Ryan Reeves came over from the St. Louis Blues. Antti Niemi is going to be their backup goaltender. God help them if anything happens to Matt Murray. Matt Hunwick is going to be on their back end. They lose Fleury. They lose Nick Bonino, Ron Hainsey. They lose Trevor Daley. But anytime you still got, you know, Malkin and Crosby and Malkin up the middle, and Kessel and some of the other younger players who have now found their roles there in Pittsburgh, there's no reason to think that the Penguins aren't anything other than a serious contender for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it was a little interesting. The Penguins traded Derek Pouliot to the Vancouver Canucks, former first-round pick in 2012. But that shows you, again, how concerned they are with the defense, meaning they're not concerned. And,
sure,
you know, the only change really is they brought in Matt Hunwick. But a healthy Chris Letang here, Drew, mm-hmm, is really the key, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, win it without Chris Letang. Olli Mäntä is a guy who definitely needs to take a step forward. You know, the defensemen that they lost, Ron Hainsey, Mark Streit, Trevor Daley, maybe with the exception of Daley, who was a top four guy. But when you're talking about Hainsey and Streit, I mean, these are third-pairing defensemen and guys that are in their late 30s. So for me, the defense is still very very good. Ian Cole, Justin Schultz had a career year last year. Brian Dumoulin, I think, is a very underrated defenseman. For me, the biggest concern is third-line center, and we heard rumors the Penguins were going to go out and acquire third-line center. Tyler Bozak was a guy who was rumored, and right now it looks like Carter Rowney is going to start the season as the third-line center. But guys, at the end of the day, you've still got Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Phil Kessel, and one of the best offenses in the NHL. You know, throw in Brian Rust, throw in... throw in Patrick Hornquist.
Jake Guentzel.
Throw in Jake Guentzel, Carl Hagelin. I mean, this is still going to be a playoff team. And as you said, Drew, no one's going to be surprised if they win their three cups in a row, because this is still the best team top to bottom in the league.
Absolutely. And Kevin Allen, who's going to come up next segment, it's a pre-recorded interview, has a funny anecdote about the Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan talking about that third-line center role for the Penguins. So you can a little preview of that interview, which is coming up in a couple minutes. Columbus Blue Jackets, they had a great year, the best year in franchise history. And unfortunately for them, they drew the short end of the straw and had to play the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round of the playoffs. 50-24-8 last season, 108 points. Interesting offseason there. Artemi Panarin comes to Columbus in the trade that sees Brandon Saad go back to the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, they are a very solid team. They still have the goaltender. Help me.
Bobrovsky.
Ed Varlamov on the brain. I knew that wasn't right. Bobrovsky. Sorry, Jay. Sorry, Dan, for not getting your guy's name right. But the Blue Jackets are still...
How did you not remember Sergei Bobrovsky?
I had Varlamov pop into my head and couldn't...
Well, they're both Russian.
I know. That was my problem.
Are you going to think about Ilya Bryzgalov next?
Maybe Nikolai Habibulin's going to come up in my brain before you know it.
What about Mikhail Shalenkov?
I'm trying to think of other...
Yeah, what about Mikhail Shalenkov?
Was Roman Chechmanek, was he Czech or was he Russian?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Czech.
Okay. Well, anyways. It
could have been Russian.
In any event, the Columbus Blue Jackets, Ezzy, how do you see them with the addition of Panarin? How do you think he fits into their lineup?
I really like the Columbus Blue Jackets. You mentioned, Drew, they had an unbelievable year last year and obviously drew the Pittsburgh Penguins and didn't get past the first round. They still haven't won a playoff round in their history. Get used to these three letters, CAA, Cam Atkinson, Alexander Wenberg, and Artemi Panarin. It might be the top producing line in the NHL this year. Take them in your fantasy hockey pool if you've got one coming up. I mean, this is such a good team from top to bottom. I know I've been using that a lot, but when you look at that defense, Zach Werenski and Seth Jones, your top pair, Jack Johnson and David Savard, maybe the best second pair in the NHL. Ryan Murray, a former second overall pick, he's your third pairing defenseman. I'll take him on my team any day of the week. This is just such an excellent team, very well coached. I just don't see any way that they're not either first or second in the Metropolitan Division. They're going to compete with the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, a few other guys that I think you should look out for. Oliver Bjorkstrand, he played a little bit last year. He's going to play on the second line with Brandon Dubinsky and Nick Foligno. Another guy who made the team, Drew, a little bit surprising, Sonny Milano. He was a first-round pick back in 2015. He had a really good training camp. He's going to start the season on the third line. Boone Jenner's out of the lineup with an injury right now. But he's another guy to look out for. Probably a dark horse candidate for the Calder Trophy. But he's a guy who they really expect to have a breakout year.
Yeah, and also Pierre-Luc Dubois, don't forget the third overall pick in the Line A draft, the Austin Matthews, Patrick Line A draft. I mean, they have him skating on the wing, but remember, they did draft him because they were interested in having a stud centerman to be groomed for that club. So it'll be interesting to see kind of development where Pierre-Luc Dubois goes and where he fits into the lineup. And yeah, well-coached, phenomenal goaltending, depth on four, depth on D.
Good.
It's a scary looking team.
Last team in the Metropolitan Division that made the playoffs last year, that was the New York Rangers. 48-28-6, 102 points. Their big offseason addition was Kevin Shattenkirk. He comes over in free agency. They made a trade with the Arizona Coyotes that saw Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta leave New York. Seems like the Rangers have taken a step backwards this year. I don't know if it's enough to knock them completely out of the playoffs. You will obviously get to that later on in hour number three. But I don't see this New York Rangers team, despite having 102 points last year, as being much of a threat to the upper echelon team in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, for me, the New York Rangers, I could easily see them making the playoffs because that's what they do every year.
Yeah.
I could easily see them missing the playoffs when you consider that, teams like the Carolina Hurricanes are up-and-coming teams, right? So let's be honest. I mean, the salary move that they made, moving Derek Stepan to the Arizona Coyotes, you know, in exchange, pardon me, with Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta, moving them for a draft pick and Anthony DeAngelo. I mean, that's a pick that was made for salary cap reasons and for the future.
Right.
You know, the biggest surprise is probably Philip Chytil making the team. He's actually going to start off the season as the second line center, playing with Jimmy Vesey and Rick Nash. You've got Mika Zibanejad, obviously, as the first center. Chytil is a guy who, obviously, you know, is from Czech Republic, a late first round pick, but he's a guy that, you know, surprised many by making the opening night roster. So, still very strong in goal. Obviously, our former friend Andre Pavlik, not to say that he's not a current friend, but Pavlik backing up Henrik Lundqvist.
I'm sure he feels the same about you.
Well, again, though, the defense, I mean, your top four, Ryan McDonagh, Kevin Shattenkirk, Mark Stahl, Brady Shea, Nick Holden, Brendan Smith on the third. I mean, this is still a very deep team, but I agree with you. I don't think they're as good as they were last year.
Yeah, the upper echelon top flight talent just might not be there, especially, you know, when you have to load up against some of the other top flight offensive talent that is coming out of the Metropolitan Division.
Big season for Henrik Lundqvist.
Big season. That's a prediction of yours?
He's going to be tested this year.
It is. He's going to have to win and steal a few games.
And he's going to have to stay healthy.
And he wasn't great last year.
He was not great.
Sean, I want to pick the Rangers to miss the playoffs, but I just don't feel confident in saying that.
Same conditioning, I'm telling you.
You still got a 45 or so minutes to mull over that that equation, and we'll come back to that in the last segment of the show. When we come back, Kevin Allen of USA Today joins us. You're listening to NHL This Week. It's our season preview show on TSN 1290. We're joined now on NHL This Week by Kevin Allen of USA Today. Kevin joins us each and every year to preview the NHL's Eastern Conference. This year is no different. Kevin Allen, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Kevin, the season commences here in Winnipeg 24 hours from now with the Leafs and the Jets doing battle at Bell MTS Place. You know, obviously the Austin Matthews versus Patrick Laine battle will be center stage. You know, in Toronto, though, after, you know, their first playoff appearance in eons, they take the Capitals to a very hard-fought first-round series. The Leafs, they're bursting with young talent and optimism. In your mind, what is the ceiling for this Toronto Maple Leafs team this season?
Well, I mean, I think they're an outside Stanley Cup contender, and by that I mean, you know, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think I put them among the elite teams in the league yet just because of their lack of experience, and I think their defense still need some work, but I really like their ability to compete. I think Mike Babcock has them ready to play, and I think he's got them capable of playing above their station. So I think they're on the right direction. They're ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuilding, and you know they're the kind of team that if they got on a roll, who knows what can happen in the postseason.
Seems it just got to get into the battle, just into the tournament. That makes the big difference. Last year, we saw that with the Ottawa Senators. They're only one overtime goal away from representing the Eastern Conference in the finals. Yet no one seems to expect anything similar from them this year. Are they a better hockey team, the Senators, than they're getting credit for? Or was last season's impressive playoff run more of an aberration than anything else?
Yeah, they're a better team than I think people realize. They remind me a little bit of the old New Jersey Devils of the Lou Lamoriello in his prime era. And by that I mean, you know, sometimes we say things, or we did say things about the Devils, about if they get in the playoffs, they could win the playoffs. And, you know, they were a team that was built for the postseason, and that's what I see from the Senators. Like, you know, I don't think they're going to have trouble making the playoffs. I think they will get in, but you know, they're not a great regular season team, but in the postseason, they're very difficult to play against. Guy Boucher has done a great job of sort of giving them that postseason mentality, you know, that we've got to play at our very best on every night if we want to win. We're not good enough to win by talent alone, and they really seem to buy into that. And I think he's really empowered Erik Karlsson. I think Karlsson, although he's, you know, still recovering from his off-season surgery now, but you know, last season I saw a different Karlsson, a guy that I think realized that it just isn't about, you know, point production. There's more to it than that. He became more of a shot blocker, you know, more of a guy that I think was more concerned about wins in terms of what he could do other than create points. And I think all that sort of fed into this idea that the Senators could be a very good playoff team. And I think their offense is underrated as well. Like they can score goals when it's hard to score goals, and I think that's all you really need to be successful in the postseason.
Kevin Allen of USA Today is our guest on NHL This Week. We're talking about the Eastern Conference as part of our 2017-18 NHL season preview. Kevin, we're three questions in, and I haven't asked about the Pittsburgh Penguins, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins, because, you know, it just seems like they just continue to go with the flow. The core pieces are still there in Pittsburgh. We all know the names: Crosby, Malkin, Kessel. Matt Murray is now the undisputed number one goaltender with Marc-Andre Fleury out in Vegas. Any reason to your mind why you don't think the Penguins will be in the running again this season to maybe go back-to-back-to-back in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I'm actually picking them to do it. I just think even though they've won two in a row, I think people are sort of underestimating their chances of winning again. And I think, you know, we always want to look at the successive wins, in this case three, in terms of the totality. But really, they're just trying to win again. And, you know, when I look at their team, I think they're just as capable, if not among the top three teams in the league, in their ability to win another one. And it's all about, as you said, Crosby and Malkin. At the start of the season, when it was pointed out that they lost Bonino, Jim Rutherford told a great story of calling Mike Sullivan, the coach, and saying, hey, I may not get that number three center right away. We may start the season without him. I'm going to look around and make a trade. And Mike Sullivan's response is, well, is Crosby and Malkin still my top two centers? And Rutherford said, yeah. He says, well, then I'm not going to worry about it. And, you know, I mean, it's a laughable point, but it's a fair one. I mean, when you're dealing with the foundation blocks that they have, plus adding a Chris Letang. Often we say at the trade deadline, if they just get a guy back from an injury, it's like making a trade. Well, that's how it is for the Penguins. Like, they won a cup without having Chris Letang, one of the better defensemen in the game today. And they were still able to win that cup. So to get him back and healthy, adding to that defense, they lost some pieces, sure. But I think they have a good system, and I think Rutherford is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, trader in NHL history. He'll find another guy or two to help him out. So I think they got a real shot. I'm picking them to win. I think there are other teams capable, but, I like their chances.
You know, you mentioned Jim Rutherford there. Is he sort of underrated when it comes to the annals of great NHL general managers? He's now doing it with a second organization after his lengthy stint in Carolina.
Well, for sure. I mean, he was able to win in the salary cap, even though it was at the beginning of the salary cap era, you know, with a team that, it is difficult, didn't go to the ceiling of the salary cap. He has that ability in Pittsburgh, and he's kind of shown what he can do. I mean, you look back at his history, he's made some incredible trades. And it's not that he fleeces general managers, he just helps his own team, and he's willing to give up. So I think they have a lot of faith in him, in ownership in Pittsburgh, and I think the fan base has faith in him, and I know the players do as well. So I think he will make another trade or two that'll help this team in the postseason, but he certainly is underrated in terms of where he fits in the ranking of the all-time great general managers.
Kevin Allen of USA Today, our guest on NHL This Week. We're talking about the Eastern Conference as part of our 2017-18 NHL season preview. Kevin, in Washington, yet another season of tremendous regular season success, but a horrendous playoff performance. They go out way earlier than they expected, as per usual in Washington. A lot of changes in the offseason, though. Out goes Carl Alsner, Nate Schmidt, Kevin Shattenkirk, Justin Williams, and Marcus Johansson. The offense should still be there with Ovechkin and Backstrom and Kuznetsov and Oshie, but is the defense good enough to consider them anything other than an average Eastern Conference team?
Well, I still saw them as a 100-point team or a 98-point team somewhere. I mean, they still have Holtby, they still have Carlson, who I think is a premium defenseman. Niskanen is also a quality player as well. Orloff is a decent player. So I think their defense is a little better than people realize. And, you know, their offense still be as good. But saying all that, I mean, it's really, I forgot the word exactly that Barry Trotz used, but he basically said their offense looks disturbing, you know, in the preseason. Like, they haven't looked sharp. And, giving up Johansson's and Williams is certainly losses, but there still should be enough there that they shouldn't look as, ineffective as they have in the preseason. They just didn't seem to be in sync. So, you know, they're going to be a team we're going to have to watch. Like, I don't think that they're going to have, you know, a drop-off that'll take them out of the playoffs, but, you know, they're going to have to sort of find who they are now, sort of a new identity because of all the number of players they lost. And but, you know, they still have a lot of quality players remaining, and so, you know, if they all play at a high level, they're going to be, in my mind, the third best team in that division.
Kevin Allen of USA Today, our guest on the NHL This Week. We're talking about the Eastern Conference as part of our NHL season preview show. Kevin, in Montreal, they acquired Jonathan Drouin in the offseason from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Of Jonathan Drouin, who's, of course, the latest French-Canadian savior for the Montreal Canadiens, Carey Price, the $10 million goaltender, and general manager Marc Bergevin, who has the most pressure on their shoulders?
Wow. Well, I don't think it's Drouin because right now, you know, he's the favorite son there. You know, Price being a goalie in Montreal, other than being a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, I'm not sure there's another position in all of sports that has more pressure than that. So I'm going to go that. But saying all that, I know the fan base is expecting, you know, more from Bergevin. They keep hoping that he's going to find the, you know, number one center they're lacking. But maybe he did. Maybe the trade of Jonathan Drouin and the conversion from a wing to a, you know, center will be the one. I know there's a lot of excitement over the way he's looked in the preseason. And, you know, I got to be honest, if Price plays like Carey Price can and he's the best, you know, goalie in the league, it really wouldn't take much for them to get there. I still have worries about the defense. Like, Markov was a staple there, and now he's gone. And, you know, there's just been some changes there. And, you know, can Petrie continue on the sort of upward climb he's been since he came over from Edmonton? There's a lot of questions about the defense. But if Price is right and if Drouin is suddenly becomes the, you know, the offensive catalyst that the team has needed, then, you know, they're a playoff team to be sure.
Kevin, last season injuries were a huge issue for the two teams in South Florida. Steven Stamkos only played 17 games for the Lightning, and Sasha Barkov, Nick Bjugstad, and Jonathan Huberdeau all missed significant time for the Panthers. They were playoff teams a couple seasons ago. Will a return to health return these two teams to the playoffs this season?
Well, for sure for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm not so sure quite with the Florida Panthers. With the Lightning, I just think this team, and with the changes made in the offseason, bringing even a guy like Dan Girardi, who was, you know, almost sort of run out of town in New York. I think the fan base was, you know, they thought he was overpaid and all he was providing was shot blocking and they wanted more from him. But I think in Tampa, all they really want from him is for him to be a stalwart defensively and be a shutdown defenseman. So I think he'll be more content to play. And it'll be easier for him to play in Tampa, and I think he'll give them exactly what they need. You know, I think even bringing a guy like Kunitz over will help that team as well. And as long as they stay healthy, and that's a big if, because, you know, Stamkos has been beat up a couple of times the last couple of seasons, and they really need him. But if everyone remains healthy, that's one of the teams that I think has a real shot to win the Stanley Cup. The Panthers are a little bit different story. Like, I think they're the biggest mystery team. Like, I really liked who they were two seasons ago. Ekblad was, you know, arriving as one of the dominant defensemen in the game. And you mentioned Barkov and Huberdeau. There was a lot of excitement going on there. But I don't have a read on them whatsoever. Like, whatever they do this season, I think it would just merely be a guess on our part. You know, there's still some good components there. But all the good karma that they had when Dale Talon was running the show originally and Gallant was the coach, we just don't know, you know, if that karma is coming back. I like Bugner. I thought it was a good hire. He was paid his dues in junior hockey. And we're just going to have to see on them. I think they're going to be one of the mystery teams that, you know, whatever happens to them, whether they can return to 2 years ago or they'll be a little better than last season, I don't think we're going to know that until, you know, about 15 games into the season.
Kevin Allen of USA Today is our guest on NHL This Week, discussing the Eastern Conference ahead of the start of the NHL season tomorrow night. The Jets and the Leafs, of course, do battle at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, a game you can hear live on TSN 1290. Kevin, the first overall and second overall picks in last year's draft ended up in the Eastern Conference. Nico Hischier goes to the New Jersey Devils, Nolan Patrick to the Philadelphia Flyers. What are reasonable expectations for the two rookies, and do you think it will be enough immediately to change the fortunes of either team and turn them from also-rans into playoff teams?
Well, I think Heischer for sure will be a major contender for the Calder Trophy, and I think he'll benefit from the fact that they have room for him to move in and play a a key role in their top six. I think Patrick may be a little more well-rounded in Philadelphia, but he might not get the same opportunity. I think they're a little bit farther advanced in terms of where they are in the pecking order there in the Metropolitan. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to give him the same opportunities that he sure will get in New Jersey. But both these teams are teams on the rise. Both of them have patient general managers, Shiro in New Jersey, who is basically approaching it the same way he did in Pittsburgh, where he's adding piece here and a piece there, and getting this team exactly where he wants it. I like the goaltending a lot in New Jersey. I don't know quite where Elliott is, though. I thought he was a little better last year in Calgary than people remember. He got off to the bad start, but he had a pretty good run there for. Mm-hmm. A lengthy period of time. So if he could come in and be a stabilizing force with the young defense that Philadelphia has, they could make some noise. But, I think it's harder on defense to depend on the younger players, and they have a lot of youngsters on defense. They're a lot of talented guys. So if they can somehow overcome the lack of experience and just play on their talent level, who knows? I mean, the Philadelphia, team may be even could even push to the outside edge of the playoffs. But I think both those teams will be very good in a couple of years.
Kevin Allen, our guest on NHL This Week, we're discussing the Eastern Conference ahead of the start of the NHL season tomorrow night. Kevin, eight straight seasons that the Carolina Hurricanes have been on the outside looking in. With an impressive young defense and the addition of Scott Darling in net, will this be the year that playoff hockey returns to Raleigh, North Carolina?
Well, that's what I'm projecting. I really like what Ron Francis did in the offseason, and I think the Darling is a good acquisition. To me, this is very similar to a Cam Talbot situation where you identify an older goalie who, is a terrific backup, and you try to get him at a reasonable rate. And I think Darling can carry the load. He's a big goalie, and he's shown when given the opportunity that he can play in pressure games. So I think he could be the difference. I like their defense there. Hannifin will be better this year. Falk is already well established. I think his plus-minus is a reflection of the team and not that he's a poor defensive player. I think he can play defensively. I like the young forward group that Carolina has, and bringing in Williams and Kruger, just adds more experience to that group as well. So there's a lot to like about Carolina, and I think they're going to squeeze in. They may have to knock off the New York Rangers in order to do it, but I think they're capable.
Kevin, in Long Island, the John Tavares situation sort of hovers over the entire team. He's, of course, an unrestricted free agent at season's end. If they don't get that resolved early in the year, maybe in the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, does that threaten to just cloud whatever else they do on the ice?
Well, I think it does. Players always say that it doesn't bother them, that they get it, it's a business, but it can't, it just has to have an impact, especially when all these players know how important Tavares is. And, and what's it say about the organization if they can't get John Tavares to, to stay? And the longer it goes on. Now, people can say, Stamkos signed after the season. But I think it's a different situation there. Like, it's pretty well established that it was that Stamkos, loved Tampa, loved the team. It was a good team and everything. He just had to come and think about his options, and he probably needed the season to do that. It's a different situation with the Islanders. I mean, we don't know whether Tavares, believes this team is headed in the right direction, and the arena situation just clouds the issue as well. So the fact that he's not signed, I think it could have an impact on this season and could erase the work that Doug Weight did. I thought when Doug Weight showed up last season and behind the bench, it really changed this team's fortunes. Like, there was a lot of buy-in, and you could see the difference in the way they played. But with the weight of the Tavares contract negotiations may sort of eradicate the advantage of having a good guy behind the bench in Doug Weight.
A couple more questions for you, Kevin. Kevin Allen of USA Today joining us on NHL This Week, talking about the Eastern Conference. when you gave your answer about the Carolina Hurricanes, you indicated you had them battling out with the New York Rangers for one of those final playoff spots. Your thoughts on two big additions in the Eastern Conference, Kevin Shattenkirk going to the Rangers in free agency, and then in Columbus, where they were a playoff team, of course, last year, you have the addition of Artemi Panarin in the trade that saw Brandon Saad go back to Chicago.
Well, I really liked the Panarin trade quite a bit. I really felt that they were sort of lacking that dynamic player, and that Panarin can be that guy. I guess the only question will be, and it's one that was debated often, is, you know, who was helping who more in Chicago? Wasn't Kane helping Panarin, or Panarin helping Kane? And we all know that Kane can create by himself. We've seen him do it for a lot of years, and I guess we have to sort of wait and see what Panarin when doing Columbus. But I like that trade. That made a lot of sense. Saad is a good hockey player, but Panarin just brings a missing piece, I think, to the Blue Jackets, the guy that can sort of help on the power play, kind of find space when none seems to exist. So it's going to be interesting to see the impact he has. And I like that team a lot. Boy, Werenski and Seth Jones are probably, if you're rating top twosomes in the league, boy, what do they rank? Top three, and look how young they are. It's really amazing. And Bobrovsky's a great goalie, so I'm bullish on the Blue Jackets. And you know, the Rangers are just in that state now where they're still a really good team, but I don't know that they're a great team. And it'll be interesting to see, like, Shattenkirk, really good offensively, as we all know, you know, average at best defensively. Is he what the Rangers need? They've given up Eric Steppen in a trade in the offseason as well, so that means some other guys have to step up. Do they really even have a true number one center? I'm not sure they do. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. But as long as you got Lundqvist, you know, I think you're always going to be in the mix. And, you know, they're still at worst, they're a 94, 95, 96-point team, and we'll just have to see if that'll be enough to get them in.
Good goaltending covers up a lot of warts.
Absolutely.
On a lot of different NHL teams. Kevin, last question for you. Always appreciate your time and your insight as part of our season preview shows here, and that is, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins, that you think that they're going to go back-to-back-to-back. Who do you have them playing in the West, and do you have the Penguins just representing the East, or do you have them winning the whole thing again?
I have them winning the whole thing. I just think that challenge of climbing Everest for a third consecutive June is enough that'll carry them through. But the team that I have in the West is the Edmonton Oilers. Like, I just think there's a lot of excitement with this team, and Connor McDavid is one of those generational players, and not just in terms of his offensive production. I think he's one of those inspirational players that can get a team sort of fired up, and you watch him play and you just get excited, and everybody plays at a higher level than, you know, their talent would suggest. And I just see that. I just see him getting hot in the postseason, and everybody getting excited and jumping aboard, and away we go. And I think it would be one of those series that we would talk about forever if we could have Crosby and Connor McDavid.
I was going to say McDavid and versus Crosby, Draisaitl versus Malkin, sort of akin to the Oilers dynasty of the early 80s doing their first battle against the Islanders as their dynasty was maybe coming to an end.
Absolutely. And, you know, this team is obviously the most exciting, you know, Oilers team we've seen since either the late 80s or even 1990 when they won the Cup. But, the Crosby versus Connor McDavid comparison or debate is one that I think we all enjoy having. It, you know, to me, it just boils down to whether you say if you're building a team for now, well, of course you want McDavid. He's young, and Crosby is 30 years old now. But if you want to talk about, you know, who has the guy who's done the most, well, it's pretty clear that that's Crosby. I mean, that. You know, Gretzky said it best at the All-Star game, that Crosby is the yardstick by which Connor McDavid has to measure himself, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, in addition to winning the trophies that Crosby has, he's now won three cups. He's won back-to-back. He's been a great leader. You know, he's everything, really, that Connor McDavid wants to be, so no greater role model than Crosby for Connor McDavid.
Kevin Allen of USA Today. Kevin, always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks so much for doing this. Great talk with you, as always, to start the NHL season.
Sounds good. Call me anytime.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Hischier pulls up at the half board and fires and scores. Nico Hischier continues to have the hot hand.
And Hischier on the board. That's 4 goals in 4 games for the youngster, 18 years of age.
Bottom of the hour here on TSN 1290. Nico Hischier, former first overall pick this past draft, going to be in the New Jersey Devils starting lineup as they get underway in the next few days. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. This week at Rumors, he started tonight, Nate Craig in town. You saw him open for Bill Burr this past May in town. Now he's going to be headlining at Rumors this week. Tickets available, RumorsComedyClub.com. And sure, I know it's only the beginning of October, but believe it or not, it's time to start thinking about your office Christmas party, your office holiday party. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the experts in a great time for your office, for your work gathering. Maybe you want to have an outing with whatever your rec team is. Rumors Comedy Club, check it out. They have a great Christmas party, holiday party, Hanukkah party packages available. RumorsComedyClub.com. Gentlemen, quickly, as we've gone way over time with the previous Kevin Allen and Eric DeHatchick interviews, and of course Jeff Hamilton in the first hour. We thank them all for joining us on the program. In the Metropolitan Division, 4 teams that didn't make the playoffs last year: the New York Islanders, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the New Jersey Devils. We mentioned Hischier. He goes to the New Jersey Devils first overall. Nolan Patrick goes to the Flyers second overall. Yet it's the Carolina Hurricanes who are getting the most buzz as potentially being a playoff team after being on the outside looking in for the past 7 seasons. Does playoff hockey return to Raleigh, North Carolina this year?
I think it does. And, you know, you mentioned the New York Islanders, Drew, and they missed the playoffs by 1 point. It was 1 point that separated the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New York Islanders. It seems like it was so long ago, guys. But when I look at the Islanders lineup, it just hasn't gotten better from last year. And, you know, you move Travis Hamonic, you get a first rounder, you get a second rounder, but your defense is now depleted and you're not going to be as good. And you're not going to be as good on the penalty kill. Travis Hamonic was a great penalty killer. And to me, you know, you go out and you acquire Jordan Eberle for Ryan Strome. Okay, so Jordan Eberle is going to get a chance to play with John Tavares. Still a top 10 center, in my opinion. Maybe even a top 5 center. Anders Lee's also there on the top line. So that's a bona fide top line. But, you know, you're asking a lot out of guys like Andrew Ladd and Brock Nelson. Anthony Beauvillier is most likely going to be your second line center. Matthew Barzal, you know, is a really good young rookie. Great player in the Western Hockey League. But, you know, Josh Hosang is another guy that I really like. But, I mean, this is a much younger New York Islanders team than we've seen in previous years. You know, you think back to, you know, the Franz Nielsen, Jason Chimera years. I mean, this group of forwards is very young. The defense is still pretty good. I mean, I really like Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk as your shutdown pair. Calvin DeHaan, I think, is an underrated defenseman. Manitoba's Ryan Pulock. You know, in goal, Yaroslav Halak, Thomas Greiss. Is it the best tandem in the league? No, but it's probably, you know, an average to above average tandem. So, you know, for me, it is the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, you know, to answer your question, you know, when you talk about the Hurricanes, they were, I think it was 87 points last year. But, you know, the changes they made, Scott Darling obviously being the biggest one. But, Drew, for me, Scott Darling doesn't even have to play 50 to 60 games. You've got a capable backup in Cam Ward. And people forget, Cam Ward played 60 games. Remember how bad Eddie Lack was last year. Sure. So, for me, it's quite possible that you see Scott Darling play 40 to 50 games and you see, you know, Cam Ward playing 35 to 40 games. So they're really good in goal, and, you know, we've talked a lot about that up-and-coming defense with Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, Justin Falk, Noah Hanifin. I mean, it's a really good group of defensemen there. Jake Bean was sent back. He's going to need another year in the Western Hockey League.
Good but problem to have, though.
They have a lot of good young defensemen in the lineup, and then when you talk about, you know, those forwards, I mean, we saw how good Sebastian Aho was last year, Jeff Skinner, Jordan Staal, the veterans there. A guy like Elias Lindholm, I think, is due for a breakout season. I really like his game. So I do think that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to make it to the playoffs.
Quickly, Sean.
I do not think the Carolina Hurricanes will make it to the playoffs. I think they're close. I think their roster defines up and coming with regards to young talent, but I just don't think they're there yet, and I don't think they have the back end to solidify as many goals against as necessary to keep them out, or to keep them in, I should say. So Not this year.
Yeah, Sean, the other guy I was going to throw out there is Victor Rask. He had a career year last year. Very speedy, very skilled forward there. So lots of offensive talent. Justin Williams was obviously one of their big acquisitions on forward, Drew.
Sure, returns to Carolina.
Yeah, and he could either play on the first line, second line. He can play on the third line if you really need him to. A very versatile winger.
He's going
to
be there as guidance for the young players to really help them.
And it's the deepest team they've had in a long time.
We see the Hurricanes here early in the season, I believe on the second Saturday of the season, if I'm not mistaken, October 14th, after the Jets go on the road, after they play tomorrow night, they come home to play the Carolina Hurricanes Saturday, October 14th. So we'll get to see them up close and personal early on in this season. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll do the Atlantic Division, we'll do our playoff predictions out of the Eastern Conference, and we'll come up with our Stanley Cup champions. A couple segments to go. You're listening to NHL This Week. It's our season preview show on TSN 1290. You think they're a fan of Austin Matthews in Toronto? Sarcasm notwithstanding, he had a fantastic Calder Trophy winning season for the Maple Leafs as he propelled them into the playoffs last year as the Maple Leafs went out in the first round to the Washington Capitals. But it certainly was an entertaining first round series, and the sky is the limit. That's the perception, at least, of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome back to NHL This Week. We're going to focus our attention on the Atlantic Division for now till the end of the program, at which point in time we'll give you our Eastern Conference playoff representatives and our Stanley Cup champion. We start in Montreal. They were the winners of the Atlantic Division last season. The Habs with a 47-26-9 record, 103 points, and a busy offseason this season as they look to even retool their lineup a little more. We know they gave Carey Price the big contract extension. He's a $10 million player. Jonathan Drouin comes over from the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's the latest savior there. He's in exchange for Mikhail Sergachev, of course. Carl Alzner is signed in free agency. Then they add some depth players in David Schlemko, Alex Hemsky, Mark Streit, and Peter Holland. Montreal Canadiens, have they, you know, every year they seem to be one of those good regular season teams and then not able to do it in the playoffs. We know last year they went out to the New York Rangers in the first round. Does the addition of Drouin change the fortunes of the Montreal Canadiens? And do they have enough defense now, given that they also lost Andrei Markov in the offseason?
Yeah, and, you know, Victor Mett is actually going to start the season on the top pair with Shea Weber. He's a fourth rounder from 2016, played last year with the London Knights, was almost a point per game player. And then you've got Carl Alzner there, obviously the big acquisition by the Montreal Canadiens, playing with Jeff Petrie on the third pair, Jordy Benn and Mark Streit on the third pair. Brandon Davidson, I guess, is your seventh defenseman. I don't know, Drew. I wouldn't say that the Montreal Canadiens got better. I mean, they got worse, but the question is, how much worse did they get, right? They were a 103-point team last year. And for me, guys, the Atlantic Division, you know, is a completely wide-open division. I think there's five teams that I could see winning the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Toronto is one of them. Yeah. Boston is one of them. I would throw Tampa Bay in there. I would even throw Ottawa in there. Like, to me, if you take those five teams, and obviously, you know, most likely four of those teams are going to make it because the Metropolitan Division is better. But when you look at those five teams, I mean, is there a big separation between any of those teams? I'd actually rank probably Tampa Bay as the best of those five teams. They didn't even make the playoffs last year, albeit they only missed it by, you know, a few points.
Right, without Steven Stamkos in their lineup for the majority of the season.
Right, and so, you know, when you talk about the Montreal Canadiens, Drew, you know, we just talked about, you know, the defense, but to me, they're just still not strong enough up the middle. And they want Jonathan Drouin to be that number one center alongside Max Pacioretty on the top line. Brendan Gallagher right now is penciled in on that first line as well. But after that, I mean, Thomas Plekanec is coming off of a horrible year. Mm-hmm. Philip Deneau is your third line center. But I mean, when you talk about, you know, Drouin, Plekanec, and Deneau as your top three centers, I mean, it leaves a little bit to be desired. And sure, there's a lot of talented players on there. Right now, they've got Alex Galchenyuk on the third line. We don't expect him to stay there. But, you know, when you're talking about Andrew Shaw, you know, Arturi Letkinen had a really good year last year. But, I mean, this isn't an elite team. For me, it's kind of one of those teams that I could see them making the playoffs. I could see them missing the playoffs.
I'm going to lean more to missing the playoffs. I think they addressed a little bit of skill that they needed with Jonathan Drouin. They lost a lot of skill with the departure of Alexander Radulov. And then you talked about you look at their back end. Can Victor Mete survive a full season in the NHL at his size and at his age? Who knows? You know, will Jordy Benn and Mark Strait reports that they have not been very good in training camp. We'll see how that handles. And Carl Olsen are going to get adjusted to a new team and playing with a new D partner. I said it about Henrik Lundqvist, and I'm going to say it about Carey Price. A lot of pressure on the goaltender's shoulders this year.
You know, Sean, you just mentioned Carey Price. It's amazing that we've been talking about the Habs for 5 minutes now, and we haven't mentioned Carey Price. But if the Habs don't have Carey Price, is anybody picking them to make the playoffs? Like, Carey Price is obviously one of the best goaltenders in the NHL.
If they don't have, people are picking them as one of the worst teams in the league.
I would say that, with the exception of maybe Sergei Bobrovsky, Price is still the best goalie in the NHL. At the very least, he's the second best goalie. But really, I mean, even if he plays 65 games and, you know, wins 35, 40 games, I mean, this team just, where are the goals going to come from?
Yeah,
that's the big question there. And that's why they're linked still to Matt Duchene in Colorado as that situation continues.
Well, if they get Matt Duchene, that's a different story.
Well, it certainly changes their fortunes. The question is, what would they have to give up? And do they, you know, after the trade of Sergachev, do they have a defenseman that the Avalanche want?
Who's turning heads in Tampa Bay, by the way, Sergachev.
Yes, he's going to make the Tampa Bay Lightning by all accounts, as you know, and that's a good defense they have in Tampa Bay. We'll get to the Lightning momentarily. In Ottawa, they were the Eastern Conference finalists last year as they lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 7 in overtime. Didn't do much in terms of adding to the roster. Johnny Oduya, ex-Winnipeg Jet, of course. Nate, and you know, certainly at the downside of his career, Nate Thompson comes over as well. They lose Mark Mathot. And the big question in Ottawa, of course, is the health of Erik Karlsson. Doesn't sound like he's going to play to start the season, but it doesn't sound like he's going to miss many more than just a handful of games to begin. But who knows what strength he's at after the offseason surgery.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, Drew, it was looking like Erik Karlsson was going to miss maybe the first month and a half of the season, but it looks like now he's only going to be out for another week to 2 weeks. He might be back as early as next week. You know, you mentioned Johnny Oduya, former Jet, former New Jersey Devil. He's actually going to start the season as the number one pairing defenseman with Cody Ceci, and then you've got Dion Phaneuf on the second pair there, probably with Frederick Claesson. Thomas Chabot got sent down to the American Hockey League. Many people thought he was going to make the team. Didn't have a very good training camp. A former first-round pick, MVP of the World Junior Tournament. When you're talking about this team, to me what stands out is you're expecting a lot of Craig Anderson and Mike Condon again, probably to me maybe the third or fourth best goalie tandem in the NHL. Really good goaltenders. They're going to get goals. Goals to me aren't going to be the problem. I mean, you have a spread out offensive attack there, you know, with Kyle Turris, Mike Hoffman, Winnipeg's Mark Stone, Bobby Ryan, J.G. Pageau is a good player. But to me, that defense without Mark Mathot and, you know, Erik Karlsson obviously is going to be back pretty soon, but it leaves a lot to be desired there. And by the way, I should mention, Cody Ceci and Dion Phaneuf was one of the worst 5-on-5 D pairs in the league last year.
Yes. In Boston, they were also a playoff team by the skin on their chin and the nosy nose or whatever that is. The Bruins 44-31-7, 95 points last year. The only real addition to that lineup, Paul Postma, another former Winnipeg Jets defenseman. The Bruins are an interesting case. They're young players. Charlie McAvoy came in and had a great playoff run for them. Is he going to be able to do it? You know, what's the expectations for him in the course of an 82-game season there in Boston?
Brandon Carlo's a defenseman I really like there as well. Charlie McAvoy obviously only had the little bit of experience in last year's playoffs, Drew, as you mentioned. He's a really good defenseman. And, you know, the fact that he's starting on the top pair with Zdeno Chara tells you a lot there. But to me, I mean, Boston, I mean, it's tough to not want to pick them as a playoff team. To me, they're kind of, I mean, well, it is pretty much the same team as it was last year. And, you know, when you talk about Tuukka Rask, he's coming off of a career year, 37 wins, excellent save percentage and goals against average there. But, you know, I look at some of those other teams and, you know, for me, the one that sticks out is the Tampa Bay Lightning. And to me, that's the team that I got to worry about there. But, you know, Boston, you know, I could see them still being around that kind of 95 to 100 point range, obviously very well coached with Bruce Cassidy. Their strength obviously is in goal and on defense. But after that top line of Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, David Pasternak, I mean, David Krejci had a down year last year. David Backes obviously didn't produce like he wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a pretty top-heavy team, right? You go down the list. Matt Bolesky obviously hasn't worked out like they wanted him to. Ryan Spooner's a decent player, but, you know, he's a kind of a 30 to 40 point guy. So after that top line, you know, to me, that's going to be their bigger problem, scoring goals. similar to Montreal.
When we come back, we'll look at the Leafs and the rest of the Atlantic Division teams. We'll give our playoff teams and we'll give our Stanley Cup champion one final segment to come. You're listening to NHL This Week. It's our playoff preview show on TSN 1290.
Is a dynamic force that can score goals and generate. He's the face of the franchise.
There's a score! Stamkos! That one deflects and scores! It hit off Stamkos' stick.
What he does means so much to the success of that group.
Steven Stamkos, a healthy Steven Stamkos. Key component of the Tampa Bay Lightning season. One final segment on this Tuesday evening. We're going to preview the rest of the Atlantic Division and give our playoff teams a reminder that the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on air Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We'll get you set for the Jets and the Flames Saturday night in Calgary. So you can get used to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday mornings, as you well know, here on TSN 1290. And then NHL This Week, typically Wednesdays, not Tuesdays, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock here on this fine radio station. Stamkos in Tampa, a healthy Steven Stamkos. Does that put the Lightning back in a playoff spot? Does that put them back as one of the contenders in the Eastern Conference?
Yes to both, Drew.
Yes to both.
I don't think that there's any way... Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's always dangerous when you say that because last year...
Really, anything you say is usually dangerous.
And Kevin Hallin mentioned this. I mean, many people were picking the Tampa Bay Lightning not only to go to the Stanley Cup final, but potentially win the Stanley Cup last year, and they missed the playoffs. But they didn't miss the playoffs by much. And so when you're looking at this Tampa Bay Lightning team, well, what did they do? Well, they locked up some of their players to lengthy contracts. But really, I mean, the big move was Mikhail Sergachev for Jonathan Drouin. Let's be honest, right? And, you know, Mikhail Sergachev is going to make the team. He played last year, winning a Memorial Cup with the Windsor Spitfires. This is a guy, though, that I would be surprised if he ends up playing a top four role for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, Victor Hedman, we know that he's a Norris Trophy candidate this year. He might win it. Dan Girardi comes over from the New York Rangers after being bought out. Anton Strålman and Braden Coburn are kind of your fourth and fifth defensemen. It's just a very well-balanced team. And, you know, Braden Point's an up-and-coming forward, had a good rookie year last year. Chris Kunitz comes in. He's going to play that third-line role alongside Namestnikov and Ryan Callahan. But, I mean, this team can really do it all. And, you know, Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson, Nikita Kucherov. I mean, they went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals a few years back. Mm-hmm. And then there was this kind of this big drop-off. And part of that was because of the goaltending. Part of that was because Steven Stamkos was injured. But I expect bounce-back years from Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat. Their numbers really went down. Nikita Kucherov's were really the only numbers that went up alongside Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman and Nikita Kucherov, Drew, almost got them into the playoffs single-handedly last year, but this is still a very deep team, really like Cedric Paquette as their fourth-line center, so they're very deep up the middle with Johnson, Stamkos, and Namestnikov. They've got one of the best defensemen in Hedman, and Vasilevsky's maybe the only unknown. We've never seen him play, you know, 50, 60 games in a season before, but obviously they're confident in him. That's why they traded Ben Bishop.
Yeah, I think Tampa is looking just beyond strong coming out of the East. You look at their depth. A guy like Chris Kunitz, who can move up and down the lineup, he as versatile a player as it comes. Victor Hedman, one of the most elite defensemen in the league. Sergachev, we'll see what this kid can do, you know, starting as a defenseman in the league. And then, yeah, you just look the triplets. Cedric Paquette, a solid role player. JT Brown, solid role player. Just guys that I'm sure coming into this season, John Cooper's a fiery coach. I'm sure that they were not happy with the way last season went, and a motivated Steven Stamkos returning from injury, look out for the Lightning.
Yeah, you know, Drew, I just looked it up after I said it, by the way, about Vasilevsky. He actually played exactly 50 games. But the point is, I'm expecting him to play 60 to 65 games
this
year.
Their backup goalie is Peter Budaj, and I don't think anybody's expecting Peter Budaj to replicate the fantastic season he had out of nowhere last year.
I apologize. I thought Vasilevsky was more around 40 games last year with Ben Bishop still there. The other thing to mention, too, is Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, for those who like advanced stats, Tampa Bay Lightning was seventh in the NHL in team possession and missed the playoffs. So it's a very good possession team. We know that. We've seen it over the years. So It's going to be tough not to pick Tampa Bay as a playoff team.
Toronto's going to be in town tomorrow night, and everybody is on the Toronto – well, I mean, I guess the Toronto media are on the Toronto bandwagon saying that this is going to be their year, that this they could win the Stanley Cup, this is a cup contender team, et cetera, et cetera. I think the Leafs are a very good hockey team, and I think Austin Matthews is obviously a tremendous player. Are people maybe getting a little ahead of themselves on the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No. And you know, I know some people hate to say it, but, I mean, this is a team that took the President's Trophy-winning Washington Capitals to six games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could have easily won that series. Five of those six games went to overtime, guys, if you remember. So, I mean, why can't this team compete for the Stanley Cup? I'm not picking them to go to the Stanley Cup final or to win the Stanley Cup, but, I mean, we talked to Eric Duhatchik about it. Aside from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Anaheim Ducks, and Edmonton Oilers, how many elite teams are there in the NHL? There's maybe three, maybe four, if that. So when you talk about the Leafs, I mean, I think they can compete for the Atlantic Division title this year. I think they've gotten better. I think Montreal's got worse. I like the acquisition of Patrick Marleau, and I realize, you know, some people were surprised that they gave him 3 years, but really, this is for now, right?
Don't worry. If he runs into any trouble, they'll just put him on, they'll tell him he failed his physical, and they'll just put him on LTIR.
Right. Stefan Robidoux Island, right?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about, I mean, this team, right? Matthews, right, Bozak, and Kadri up the middle. I mean, that's as good as any other team in the NHL, and we know how good the supporting cast of young players is, starting with Zach Hyman and Nylander on Austin Matthews' line. So, I mean, top to bottom, this is an excellent team. The defense, you know, it gives me a little bit of concern there, Drew. You know, Ron Hainsey is expected to play a top four role. Ideally, I think you'd want him as a third pairing guy. I mean, but when you're talking about Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner, Nikita Zaitsev, I mean, these are all really good defensemen that can move the puck. Looks like Andreas Borgman is going to be the third pairing guy there, a Swedish defenseman. But, I mean, I think they're going to be, you know, around 105 points this year.
Wow. Ezzy's bullish on the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Panthers, the Red Wings, and the Sabres all missed the playoffs last year. The Panthers have a new head coach. The Sabres have a new head coach. Should make note, Sabres signed Jack Eichel to an 8-year contract extension today.
So dinner's on Jack.
Yeah, 8 years, $80 million for Eichel. He gets $10 million per season. Can the Florida Panthers, I don't think that the Sabres are ready to make a playoff spot. The Red Wings might be one of the worst teams in the league with the Avalanche. What about the Panthers? Sort of that last year was such a bizarre season. Are they just too far away now from to make the playoffs?
It's a good question because, you know, you look at the Florida Panthers, they won the division a couple years ago.
Right.
And then you kind of look at some of the moves they've made with the exception of a few, I would say, minor moves. You know, it's essentially the same team. And, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, you know, missed a big chunk of the season, but he was a point per game player when he came back. I still really like them up the middle. Alexander Barkov, Vinny Trocheck, and Nick Bjugstad. I like the supporting cast. I actually really like the acquisition of Radim Verbata to kind of give you some secondary scoring on the third line. Obviously, you know, the key for me, too, is Aaron Ekblad, rebounding from his season last year. He wasn't very good last year. Mm-hmm. What's happening in goal, too? I mean, Roberto Luongo, among all goalies in the NHL, active goalies, he has the most wins, but, you know, is James Reimer, you know, going to get the majority of the starts for Florida? I'd expect probably them to share the starts there. We'll see. But it's going to be very tough for them to make the playoffs. You're talking about, you know, improving by probably 7 or 8 points. It's probably going to take 95 or 96 points to get in the East. It's going to be very tough for them.
And can they replicate the 30 goals that Jonathan Marchessault provided them that has been gone to Vegas?
And another guy, Evgeny Dadonov, who they drafted, has been playing in Russia, I believe, the last 4 or 5 years. He's going to start the season on the top line with Huberdeau and Barkov, a very talented player. But again, you know, Owen Tippett's made this team. How good is he going to be? There's a lot of question marks on Florida.
Quickly, give me your 8 playoff teams out of the East, Ezzy.
Hold on a second here. I had them written down, Drew. I've got in the Atlantic Division, I've got Toronto, Montreal, and Tampa Bay. Hold on a second. Let me pull them up here because I had them.
You have yours handy, Sean?
I got mine ready to go.
Okay, let's go, Sean.
All right, so I got Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Ottawa, Boston, Toronto. I know it's all scattered a little bit all over. Tampa Bay, and Philly.
Philly?
I got Philly going in this year.
Wow, so you have the New York Rangers dropping off
and
there.
And Montreal.
And the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Hold on, Drew, I had to look them up here. You caught me off guard.
Really? You didn't know that was discussion?
But I had them written down in an email here. So in addition to Tampa Bay, Montreal, and Toronto, I had Boston.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah.
And in the Metropolitan Division, Washington.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Columbus.
Yeah.
And I've got Carolina making it.
So you don't have the Rangers either. Your Eastern Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I went with a bit of a shocker here.
Yeah.
I could have easily gone with Pittsburgh, and I wouldn't be surprised. I've got the Columbus Blue Jackets going to the Stanley Cup Final versus the Edmonton Oilers.
And who wins the Cup?
I've got the Cup coming back to Canada for the first time since 1993, Drew. The Oilers are going to win the Cup this year.
Sean, your Eastern Conference team?
I got Pittsburgh coming out of the East.
Yeah.
And I got Pittsburgh reclaiming the Cup for the third straight year.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for this Tuesday edition, the season preview of NHL This Week live on TSN 1290. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Support these fine Winnipeg businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. In case you missed any of the program, it's available for download on tsn1290.ca, on our website illegalcurve.com, and subscribe to the show via your iPhone or Android device. Get it sent to your device each and every week automatically. Big props to producer Rory doing a great job behind the board. For Sean Assor, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.
Just sit together, the team will be all right.